Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you've missed, we are so glad that you're connecting with God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com.
For those of you newer to KCC, we stand out of respect for God's word, so would you please stand? We're in Ephesians chapter 4. I will read, and we also repeat scripture together. I will start, it's in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 11. Courtney will read verse 12, which you will follow along with her, and we will go back and forth until we finish at verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12.
Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ.
This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ. Verse 14.
Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth.
I hope you caught that verse. It's powerful in that verse right there, in the day we live. Verse 15. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Verse 16.
He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
And hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And I ask today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. Again, I want to welcome those of you online. I attend many times, tried to engage on the screen, but I get so excited up here, I realize I kind of get lost in all of this. So forgive me before I get going. You are loved, and we are glad you're part of our church. And I want those in the sanctuary to put your hands together for everybody at home to affirm that we love them and are glad that they're with us. I need to say something before I preach. Is that all right? Well, I'm going to anyways. Last week was a pretty unique moment in the history of KCC. As we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, we had a unique visitation of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, many of you, for the very first time, experienced what it meant to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've been praying for you this week that that would not be a one and done. It would only be the beginning of what God wants to do. There's reason and there's purpose behind what I believe at this moment we need to be speaking and teaching about the Holy Spirit. And the most important reason is that it is so critical in the moment in which we live. Now I'm going to put my prophetic hat on, if I may, for just a moment. I believe the church is facing a critical moment. Let me back up. The American church is facing a critical moment in her history. As I pray, as I engage our community, our country, and other fellow pastors, here's what I realize is happening from the demonic and from the devil himself. Jesus said, "A house divided among itself will not stand." And right now, as we speak, I'm watching our church of Jesus Christ in America begin to ravel, begin to shake, begin to be divided on issues, and the cracks are beginning to happen within the church of Jesus Christ. And there's one who is behind all of that with a reason and a purpose. And that purpose is for the second wave of attack. It's called persecution. Mark my word. Persecution is now hitting the shores of the United States of America. If in fact The church is divided among itself. We are weakened in such a way that we will not be able to experience all that God wants us to experience. Even last week, with the amazing outpouring of the Holy Ghost on our place, in the midst of being in here and knowing surely that the presence of God was here, that you stood in the middle of my preaching celebrating God. We celebrate and we focus on that. But my point is made, in the middle of that and all that God did, there was still pushback. That is just a statement of where we are as a church. So why am I preaching about the Holy Spirit? It is very clear. We've been talking about revival and the need for revival. But my friends, before there is revival, there's got to be understanding who and the role of the Holy Spirit is and needs to be in our lives and in the church's lives. So I believe our only hope as we declare the things that are before us is this. The Holy Spirit then begins to have freedom in our midst. I will repeat it again, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is complete and absolute freedom. Complete and absolute freedom. And then we will be so led and living in the Spirit that we will be led towards repentance. And repentance will lead us towards an outpouring called the Holy Ghost revival that all the world will know. Therein lies my heart and my passion as to why I am saying what I'm saying, believing that God has called me to be here in this pulpit for such a time as this. So let me quickly say to you, we've looked at the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the role of the Holy Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit last week. This week, we're going to look at the equipping of the Holy Spirit. The roles of the Holy Spirit, we said, were very clear, is that he reveals truth, and we need that today. That he's delivering us moment by moment, and that his role is to indwell us at salvation, Ephesians chapter 1. The work of the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, was very clear also, that he is enabling us to be transformed into the image of Jesus through the fruit of the Spirit, which I preached about, love and joy and peace, etc. That he is to, then, his working is to fill us, a second work inside of us, where he baptizes and he controls our heart and our mind and everything about us, that we have power to stand in ways that we otherwise could never stand. And then the last workings of the Holy Spirit is that we can be overcomers and conquerors, realizing that the obstacles are real, but our God is greater. Yes? And so today, we're going to conclude that all of those lead us towards the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me make it very clear. Lots of churches get the first two. They understand the role of the Holy Spirit. They understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. They can even have an incredible Holy Spirit worship service. But they miss the equipping role of the Holy Spirit. In other words, all that we've talked about is not just so that you can live happily ever after. You will be able to do that in eternity. It's for you and I to be so victorious, so focused, so empowered that we can actually go and do and be the hands and feet of Jesus. There it is. We will have the eternity that we can have the new heaven and the new earth where we can be with Christ and everybody else. But he desires to move in our midst. Question I have to ask myself and ask you as we think about walking in the Spirit or being full of the Spirit, how do I know if I am or if I'm not? Obviously, the fruit of the Spirit is one way. But let me give you some statements that I think will help us. If these things are in my life, then I'm probably not walking in the Spirit. Number one, you ready? I am self-focused. It's always about me. If that is the case, you're probably not walking in the Spirit. Number two, I'm too sensitive. I'm defensive about anything. So if a word is spoken, one word, one statement, all of a sudden I'm on my defensive end, I'm probably not walking in the Spirit. Number three, I'm critical of others. In other words, I become a cynic. And I never give anybody a benefit of the doubt. I'm probably not walking in the Spirit. Number four, I'm self-righteous. I don't want to deal with my stuff, so I'll talk about all your stuff. You're probably not walking in the Spirit. Number five, I put my security in the wrong things. I'm probably not walking in the Spirit. If the shoe fits, wear it. I want you to know clearly today, I am not up here to make you feel good. I'm here to prepare the bride for the return of Christ. We for too long have preached a message that has given you a sense of false security. Feel good. What Jesus can do for me. And the scary thing about it all is that the vast majority of that stuff is true. But if you only look at one aspect of who God is, you have a people that are unbalanced when the difficult and when the service becomes real. You with me? So today, as we look at this, I want to conclude by saying, let's look at three ways the Holy Spirit equips us for mission. The first point is simply this. He's the giver of spiritual gifts. Can somebody say, I'm ready? Again, I am ready. As I declared last week, there's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Let me make some declarations. I'm not here to preach a sermon, which I could, about all the gifts. That's not the point. I have a simple point. He gives gifts to us, and I want to make some clarity statements for us today. The first is, we believe that the gifts of the Spirit still are available for all people who follow Jesus today. We believe the gifts are available today. Can I get an amen from anybody? Secondly, I would say to you, as we look at this, 1 Corinthians 12, Paul does a lot of detail. I read Ephesians 4 about some lists that he gave us. But in Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says the following. The gifts of the Spirit are given to whom? Everyone. Everyone. For what purpose? To number one, build up the church so the church can be the church and be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's the purpose of the gifts. We're all promised one. And here's my point, is that we are in a day and age where we're gonna need every single person. All hands on deck. We are stronger together than divided. What we can do together is greater than we can ever do by ourselves. I am tired of superstar Christianity. Enough. It's about one, the champion, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And what you and I need to understand today clearly is that he's equipping us through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. And he's saying to other church, we have several problems as we look at this. Is the first is that we elevate one gift over the other. And Paul deals with that. And he said, enough of this. Prophecy or preaching is not greater than any others. As a matter of fact, he says in 1 Corinthians 12:22, if you all think that a certain gift is actually the greatest, the reality is the one that you think that isn't is actually the greatest. So he flips it all upside down. And he gives the illustration of a body, right, in Corinthians 12. How can the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? How can the eye say to the mouth, you're not needed? I can tell you right now, if I lose my thumb today, I'm going to know it. And they are all critically important for us to face what we are facing as a church. We need each other, and he knows that we need each other. So we have elevated one over the other. And if you look at Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, he throws 13 in there and say, by the way, you're all arguing about which one's the most important. I'll just declare it and use an entire chapter. Love is the greatest of all. Love will wrap all the gifts together, wrap its arms around it and say, now let me control this. You with me today? Secondly, with gifts, we've abused them. You see, you can use the gifts of God without being necessarily completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And we've seen it in the church. If you've been in a church that uses the gifts and they have used, for example, prophecy to declare such is the Lord and actually destroy people around them because it's not in the spirit. Because of those things, we have shied away from the gifts. We've elevated one over the other. We've fought over the gifts. We've let the issue of tongues become so divisive in the church that we won't even talk about it. God, help us. And I want you to know as your pastor, wherever you fall on that, we know that Acts 2 is Pentecost, where they spoke in tongues that people could understand from other languages. That's very clear. Where it gets a little dicey for some folks is 1 Corinthians 14. Is praying in the spirit a tongue? Here's again what I want to say. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what I want you to know as your pastor, I'm okay to live in certain small issues that are called biblical tension. I'm okay with that. KCC has brought the nations. We are for all the nations as a result. As long as we are gospel-centered and focused on the Word of God that is inspired without error, leading us towards the Great Commission, you're all in with me. You hear me? Because of what we're facing today, we need to understand that. You see, we need to understand that. I don't have time, but I could take you to Romans 12, Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, which I read, 1 Peter 4, and we have all the lists of the gifts. And if you would say, I don't know what my gift is, we are committed. We have hard copies of tests out in the KCC Welcome Center. You can go to my KCC app and figure out how to be engaged, because here's what I'm saying. It's more than just you knowing what your spiritual gift is. We are committed as a church, knowing the urgency of the day is that we need all hands on deck. Not only do you need to know what your spiritual gift is, you need to practice your spiritual gift. And you need to do that in the community of believers. Are you with me? God knew what we needed, and he sent his Holy Spirit to help us understand this clearly today. We are here to mentor you and test and help you with this. So please engage this, because the day is screaming at us. The key point is this, as it relates to the gifts of the Spirit. They're important to you, they're important to the church, and they are important to God. Can I get an amen? Now, he equips us with these gifts. Now, let me back up and say about the gifts, is that, I'll just say this side note, I was gonna say this, is that sometimes people will see some people with amazing spiritual gifts, but if I may be honest, amazingly immature. How does that work, Pastor? Well, what you need to realize is spiritual gifts are not necessarily where people are in their spiritual journey. Why? What do you mean? What I mean by that is that when you get salvation, you get a gift. And if you find your gift, you can begin using your gift immediately. But unfortunately, in the church, what we have done so flippantly is that somebody is being used really well in their gifts, even though they have not fully experienced the fruit of the Spirit, right? And therefore, we put them in positions of authority, etc. And as a result of that, we've set them up for failure because they're not ready to lead in those certain ways because their gifts are so amazing that they're using. Does this make sense to anybody? You've got to have the fruit of the Spirit with the gift of the Spirit. And the day in which we live is calling us to exactly that. Secondly, the second point is that the Holy Spirit is equipping us, that he is the one who sends us. Can somebody say, Lord, send me? Say it again, Lord, send me. You see, I am convinced part of the struggle and the divisiveness in the church today is part of the reason is that we stopped becoming missional. We started to focus on things that really, at the end of the day, aren't gonna change eternity. And if we start focusing on what really matters, we will get focused and realize we need each other. For at the heart of God, at the heart of Jesus, has always been the nations, will always be the nations. And once you get to know him through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will become a part of your heart. Are you with me, church? The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. And most of the world are okay with the first section of it. For God so loved, stop right there. Totally good with that, right? God loves us. Secondly, that he gave his one and only son. I'm really grateful for that, God. And then the third part is where they turn sideways. For whoever believes in him will have eternal life. In other words, oh, now you're becoming exclusive. Now you're becoming judgmental. Now you're saying there's only one way. My response is, I'm not saying anything. I'm letting Jesus do the saying. Anybody with me? And we know with the power of the Holy Spirit and what's coming upon us, what did Peter say in 2 Peter, I think 3:9? He says, I'm waiting. I'm paraphrasing. I'm waiting and I'm longing and I'm waiting. Why? I don't want any of y'all to perish. Not one of you from all over the world. That's from scripture. And we have nearly 3 or 4 billion people still waiting. Does that even rock your world? If in fact you love scripture, if in fact you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it should start to stir something inside of you. Now, I'm gonna put my prophetic hat on again. And when I say prophetic hat, that's where I want you to make sure if I am fallible and I mess up, that you go to the Word of God, okay? I believe the early church, as it relates to the finishing the mission, when we look at the early church, what do we see in them? We realize they were cowards, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were courageous unto death. We all know that, right? Historically. And they went out and they changed the world. And how did they change the world? We don't like to say it from the pulpit. They changed the world with the shedding of their blood. Does anybody know that? Revelation 6:9 says, under the altar, the martyr's blood cries out, oh Lord, you read it. How much longer do we wait when we are vindicated? Just a little bit longer. We know that was how the church was birthed, right? In an evil, wicked world. Now here we are, a year and a half into in times we could have never dreamt we are in. As I said last week, the fact that KCC is standing with as being a multi-ethnic church for all nations, that we withstood 2020 and are stronger than ever, only says something about the one who has called us. Can I get an amen? It's only a witness. Now, why did I talk about the early church with my prophetic hat is, this will not fill the churches up what I'm about to say, but I gotta prepare the bride. Persecution is coming. And who are we to think that we are any different than the early church? But we've only known it as easy. We've only known it that we can have our latte out in the atrium, come in and watch the big screen and one already broke. Can we still worship? Oh, Lord, help us. Right? We've been so desensitized and so dependent that we have somehow thought this is Christianity. We are in a sifting as a church. And it's not Mick being unbiblical. What did Jesus say? Jesus said before he went to the cross, I love you. They hate me. They're gonna hate you. Can I say something to you young leaders? Pastor, I don't want to be labeled. I don't want to be cornered. I'm here to tell you, someone is in his 50s. If you follow the gospel of Jesus, I'm sorry, you will be labeled, you will be attacked, and you've got to get over it. That's the truth. So persecution is coming. Jesus said, they hated me, they persecute me, and they even, yes, they're going to kill me. So we're gonna have the thrill, in my estimation, to finish the mission through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Just like the church started that way. And as we are weak as a church right now and we're fighting over the stupidest things in comparison to eternity, now the outward pressures are coming on the church. And I believe it's coming in such a way we need to be awakened to it. Censorship is coming. There could be a day very shortly where you watch me online, they'll say, you are giving hate speech, we're cutting you off. Social media, cut off. Transactions and certain levels, cut off. You don't think that's crazy? Go to the church in China. And I'm here to warn you that now is the day that I choose who I will follow before it gets heated. And we will finish this thing regardless. Before, you need to understand, the church will stand regardless. I was 10 years in a place where we met just like the early church. We met in homes. We baptized in bathtubs. We celebrated with barbecue in our backyards. And I'm here to declare to you what I said from day one. What did I say to you? The church will adapt. The mission will stay the same. The road before us is not the road behind us. Church, it is our finest hour to rise up, not be of fear, not to be scared, but realize it is in that moment that we will be victorious. That is some good preaching. And if you think I'm just giving you a lot of BS from Mick, the Bible says to Abraham, Genesis 12, Abraham, I'm blessing you, not just your family, I'm blessing the nations. Israel, I'm taking you out of Egypt, not so I can just heal your family, so that you can be a blessing to the nations. Psalm 67 says, may all the nations praise him. Jesus said, go to all the world and preach my word. He said to the early church, I will give you power so you can have this great experience. No, so that you can be my witness in Jerusalem, West Michigan, Judea, Great Lakes, Samaria, the United States, and to the utter ends of the world, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I speak it with passion. And let me say this, that this thing called nationalism that we debate about in America and Christian nationalism, I gotta breathe for a second. God help me, I'm getting older. Back in the day, I just keep on going and never stop, and now I'm slowing down. And some of you go, that's slow? You ain't seen anything before this day. God help us. In my weaknesses, you are strong. Hallelujah, right? But long before there was Christian nationalism in our own country debate, nationalism has been on the rising tide of the world stage long before it hit us. All over the world. What does that mean for finishing the mission? That means for folks like Courtney, that becomes a very daunting task. How dare you be a neo-colonist, a racist, a fascist, whatever, to come and share this Jesus with us. So the odds are incredibly challenging for us today. And let me just say this, since I'm on a roll. I believe, because I lived abroad for 10 years, I love the United States of America. And if you edit me and think that I didn't, I said it. I love my country. But I love the kingdom more than I love my country. Anything below that, according to scripture, is idolatry. Do you hear me? It's idolatry. And living abroad for 10 years and then coming back, what I realized something when I came back is that America has been anointed and blessed with all of her struggles, with all of her sin, with all of her history. There was still an anointing and a blessing on our country. Today, as I pray, I believe the clock is ticking. And what I believe is happening is that the Holy Spirit, on a macro level, not a micro, but on a macro level, the clock is ticking as to whether or not his blessing and his anointing will stay with us. For I look south of the border in Latin and South America, and I see what God is doing, and I go, yay, God. I look over in the continent of Africa with all of their challenges, with all their evil, with all the things they got going on. And when you look at certain countries in that continent, you see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. When I look at parts of Asia and countries there with all of their challenges, just like in our country, but the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Ghost is there. I want you to know that as individuals, we are guaranteed that the blessing and the anointing will always be upon us, those that are faithful. But I'm calling out to us that we are on a ticking clock. And it's my responsibility to call us out and say, church, let's rise up. There's an urgency of the day. Enough is enough. Let's truly do what he's called us to do. Can anybody say amen? Amen. We're going to need the gifts of evangelism. We're going to need the gifts of apostle, which I just read. Not the office of apostleship, but the gift of apostle. A whole nother sermon. We're going to need the gift of intercession. Did you hear what I said? Intercession? I was meeting with some folks, friends of mine, who are from another country recently, and they said, when we first came to America, we thought, wow, the American church has no problems. I said, why'd you think that? And they said, because they don't have to pray. Let that pause for a moment. We're going to have to pray like we've never prayed before. You all remember before COVID, and we had between 350 to 375 people meeting here once a month, where we were seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, right? COVID hit, we've been devastated. But I never stopped. I kept quoting Galatians 6:9, do not give up. I don't care if I'm the last person standing. If I'm looking at the camera and there's not one of you on it, I'm going to act like you're all on it. So we're praying again this Friday. About 50 to 70 of you have been coming during COVID. I wonder if we're willing to go there and pray and seek the Lord while he may be found. Whew. One more point, God help us. He equips us with gifts. He equips us to go. And the result is the third point. He's the one who glorifies God, the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say glory? Glory. Say it again, glory. Glory. Make it clear. Be in the hands and feet of Jesus, serving, using the spiritual gifts. They are not an end to themselves. The end is for the glory of God, that the glory of God would be seen all over the world. That's why we do what we do. Now let me clearly make it clear to you that as the Spirit leads us in worship, some may say this, I don't want to serve your God that demands glory and worship. What a narcissistic God you have. My response is, God is not fulfilled, does not need to or feel fulfilled from our worship or our glory, or glorify him. But he knows that it's for our benefit. We are the ones that when we glorify him and worship him, we are fulfilled. He knows that if we don't give him the credit and give him the glory, that if we take it and steal it, it will destroy us. When scripture says that God is a zealous God, what is he saying? He knows that the only way that we can truly function in the way we were created is that he has our first part of our heart. And if we divide it any other way, we will surely lose. We are going to glorify God in the midst of the pain. We are going to glorify God in the midst of the struggle. We are going to glorify God. As a matter of fact, in the middle of the pain and the struggle is the moment that God is glorified better. It's in that moment that I stand and in the midst of all that I'm going through, and knowing that he is able, that the whole world knows. I am weak. With me, it is impossible. There must be something happening supernatural right here and right now. And when we glorify him, my friends, the majesty is seen in the midst of chaos. The beauty of God is seen in the midst of the ugliness. The wisdom of God is seen in the midst of confusion. The power of God is seen in the midst of hopelessness. The holiness of God is seen in the midst of the darkness. And love and justice is occurring in the middle of injustice. And truth is being declared in the midst of all the lies around us. That is the glory according to God. Can I get an amen? Anybody still with me? Come on, I need a little encouragement. I need to take a rest here. All right. In the Greek and in the Hebrew, they mean the same word. Now I have to, you know, Mickisms are really flow when I get going here. So I had to do this word over and over again. Those words literally mean to prostrate, not prostate, Mick. Prostrate with an R. So nobody can joke in staff today, I got it right. To lay prostrate, to lay out before God, and to bring him glory. You with me? When I talk about the glory of God, now here's what I'm trying to tell you. KCC can no longer go forward as she has in the past. Praise the Lord for the past. We need to come together with what we have to face in a deeper, more committed way than we've ever done before. So, in your community groups, I'm asking you to begin to praise and pray like you never have before. We do too much of this. I'm the worst of them all. My wife says I got more answers than there is questions. Hallelujah. Are you laughing? What are you talking about? Some of you just like me, all right? We need to do that in the community. But here's what I want to say about this experience. I said to you last week, I said, pray for us and be patient. I don't know how we come back. It's really hard. We're trying to be sensitive to everybody. Whether we do two services, three services, here's what I'm saying. I want the power of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God to be so magnificent every single time we come together that all of a sudden, all of West Michigan begins to hear about it. You with me? Not that we're more special than any other church. That's not my point. My point is that we want to put our sails up. We want to see, we want to come each week and say, I'm not just going through church. I really want to hear a word from the Lord. I truly want to worship the Lord. I truly want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody with me? I believe that we live in a day and age where we are going to see signs and wonders in the middle of all this coming persecution that I'm saying. We will see just like the early church saw and experienced signs, wonders, and miracles. Does that scare some of you? I believe it does. I believe it scares you that if the Holy Spirit comes, it will be out of your box and your personality. And I'm ready, and I'm responsible as the one who leads. I'm responsible to, if I get it wrong, to confess and say I get it wrong. But I would rather try and say to God, I'm not putting you in a box. Have your way with us. You with me? So, two things I would say to you. Number one, what if on Sunday mornings we changed it up? What if you sacrificed and actually brought your kiddos before you dropped them off and you showed up, God help us, 15 minutes in advance or 20 minutes in advance? And you actually just came in and started praying. And you filled the altars up. And you feel, and you start, I went through and prayed for y'all as I do every Sunday in the morning. I'm tired of being the only one. What would happen if we all started to actually expect? What if we just started to pray and we all said, wait a minute, we got a new culture here. We love each other, but we're gonna all engage each other after the service. We're gonna engage the living God before the service and during the service. Are you with me? That you would have freedom to pray over chairs, to pray wherever. And what would happen as our visitors come in and they're hearing about what the Holy Ghost is doing at KCC and they walk in, and as they walk through the doors, all of a sudden something supernatural is happening that we can't explain, but we know it's God's presence and his blessing and his anointing, and they say, whatever that is, I want some of that. Anybody with me? I'll ask it again. Anybody with me? I am telling you as your pastor, I am giving the go-ahead to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. As we come near to him, he will come near to us. As we seek him with all of our hearts, we will find him. Are you with me? And if we're going to train our kiddos, it's time that we bring them in and have them pray with us. Well, pastor, they'll talk. I don't care. They are the church. You with me? Now that I've caused a logistical nightmare for Rhonda, who's probably having an ulcer right now, she's amazing. She'll work through it. She can handle my jokes. I'm saying to you literally, that's what I'm asking for us next week. We'll change the music up. It'll be more worshipful. And then when it's time to worship, you can still be here at the altar. I don't care. During worship, you guys could be standing up here and actually worshiping. I don't care. You could be kneeling. I don't care. And if the Spirit moves and we end up praying, we will pray. We won't be trapped by Planning Center. Hallelujah. We'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? I believe this is a day that's demanding it. I'm not being loosey-goosey. I'm saying the day is demanding that the glory of God rests here. And we have to stop domesticating him and let him have him free reign with us. Knowing that if I lift, scripture says, if I lift up his name, he will what? Draw all men and women to himself. Therein lies the motive by everything I have. And what I said may have riled and ruffled a few feathers. And I, in all humility, said, that is not my desire. My desire simply is to give you the truth. For Hebrews 13, 17 says, me, your pastor, you ready? I will give an account before the Father. I was gonna give you all of this, but you wanted it nice and neat and all planned out. And I wanted to blow your socks off. I don't wanna hear that. I wanna know that in all of our glorious mess at KCC, that there is one who is truly the leader, and we're saying, have your way. Are you with me, church? So, in conclusion, the equipping of the Holy Spirit is he's given all of us gifts. Let's start using them. And let's start being the hands and feet of Jesus all over the world, starting right with our family, so that the glory of God can be seen in our lives, in our community groups, and in our worship service. You with me? You have one of the most Spirit-led worship leaders that I've ever come in contact with, right here. And my heart is his heart. So if you had any thoughts like, oh, what's Brent thinking? He and I are on the same wavelength. Wherever you take us, wherever you want us to go, Lord, we're ready to do that. You with me? So let's begin to discover what God has for us. Would you stand with me? And at home, if you're able, would you stand as Brent plays? The day is demanding it. Church of Jesus Christ. Now is the day that we stand our ground. Now is the time that we begin to rise up and truly be the Church of Jesus Christ. And that will only occur if, in fact, he sends a fire down in my soul. Sends a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. How many of you today can declare, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I want more, I want more. And if we're gonna change the world, it's gotta start here. It's gotta start now. It's gotta start here. And it's gotta start now. You with me? And as I pray today, before I pray for us, there's a visual that came to my mind of healing rain from heaven. Can you visualize it? The rain of heaven falling down upon us with all of our mess ups and all of our struggles and all of our sin and all of our attitudes and all of our humanity. And all of us with our hearts that are hard and our hearts that are doubting and our hearts that are fearful, he's saying, step out underneath the healing rain from heaven. Send your healing. Send your healing rain now. Send it now. Send your rain upon our kids. Anybody say amen? Send your healing rain on our marriages. Can somebody say amen? Send your healing rain on our families. Can somebody say amen? Send your healing rain on your church, not our church, your church. Send it. Send your healing rain. Send your healing rain upon our city. Send your healing rain upon our government. Send your healing rain upon the nations. Does anybody else besides me believe that he wants to send his healing rain upon us? Now, for you and I, before I pray, God gave me this psalm, Psalm 97. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the farthest coastlands be glad. Dark clouds surround us, but righteousness and justice are foundation for his throne. fire spreads ahead of him. Send your fire, Lord, and burns up all of our foes. His lightning flashes across the earth. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord of all the earth, the heavens proclaim his righteousness. Every nation will see his glory. Thus is the word of the Lord. Now let's pray for those of you at home before we conclude. You're welcome to join a hand of a loved one, or you're welcome to raise your hands to heaven. But let's just say, here we are, Lord. Are you okay with us just praying? And here's what I'm saying to you. Another thing, you don't have to pray privately. You don't have to pray silently. You can pray out loud. You got freaking masks. Nobody will hear you anyways. They'll just think you're speaking in a tongue. Hallelujah. But let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. Are you ready, church? Let's seek him and his Holy Spirit upon us. Come on, let's pray. Come on, church, let's pray at home. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come on, church, let's pray. Holy Spirit, call out to him, church. Be desperate, church. Call out to our Lord. Tell him that you need him. Come on, church, cry out to him. Tell him you're willing to walk underneath his healing rain. Tell him to bring your healing upon your life. Call it out now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, come. Come on, church, call it out. We pray your presence. We pray your power. We pray your glory would be seen. Help us to see with eyes that can understand. Help us to be people that see the urgency of the day. Help us to be people that are humble, that will follow the leader wherever you say, whatever you do. We will be people that will stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ till our last breath. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us that power. Give us that assurance. Help us to come together, oh God. Bring forth your own cry in John 17. Help us to be one as you and the Father are one. We pray that in Jesus' name. Help us to see the blind to see. Help us to see the lame to walk. Help us to see those who are hopeless to be given hope. Help us to see those who are doubting to experience the hope of Jesus Christ. Help us that today, we pray today that you will raise up a new force. We pray today you will raise up a new workers. We pray that Matthew 9 would be fulfilled, that you will raise up laborers and you will raise up harvesters, and that we will see a harvest delivered for your glory and your glory alone. We are tired, oh Lord. We are so tired. We can't, but you can't. We are so frustrated. We are weak, but you are strong. So hear us. We humble ourselves before you, oh Father. We are sorry for our complacency. We're sorry for what we have made it. And we're just saying, bring us back. Oh God, bring us back to what really, really matters. And we say, lead the way. We will follow you, Holy Spirit, moment by moment, day by day. And we say, to you and to you alone be the glory. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray, who is and is to come, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The King who will come back very soon on a white horse and will declare, it is finished, and we have won the victory. But in the meantime, we declare to you, O Father, we will run the race. We will fight the fight, knowing that the victory is secured. For greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. It's on that truth we stand. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Church of Jesus Christ, put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.